Welcome to Whiskey Wednesday. We drink the finest whiskey and we argue about the internet's most important topics.
Because if there's nothing that the internet doesn't love more, it's fighting and telling people that they're wrong.
With each topic, we're gonna pick a side. Just because we pick that side doesn't mean we necessarily agree, but we're definitely gonna die on that hill.
So grab something to drink, maybe a whiskey, sit back and enjoy today's conversation. Listening today on a podcast, we just want to thank you so much. Today's recording is from our YouTube video, so feel free to head over to YouTube and watch the whole thing and see what we're doing and drinking. But if podcast is your thing, we love you here, and feel free to subscribe to our channel and make sure that you share it with somebody else so we can grow this thing and tell more people.
Thanks for listening to our gospel time.
Good stuff. Bourbon, I am so excited about. This is one of my all-time favorite, Angel's Envy. And I actually had you taste it for the first time
when
we were
in Vegas. Last year, right? Or this year?
This year. And you really liked it, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it's fantastic.
So it is unique in the fact that it's a six-year bourbon that they then age in a port cask wine barrel. A port cask. It's like a 60-gallon port cask that... that port wine is aged in. So you get some really, really awesome notes and flavors to it. This is a brand new bottle that we just opened. And yeah, like you just opened it. It smells really good.
Yeah.
This is a great whiskey. It's only 86.6 proof. So almost getting 90. So it's got a nice, it's got a nice little bit of a burn to it. Very smooth and some awesome tasting notes to it. So I'm going to go ahead and pour this, and I'll tell you guys a little bit about it. I'm gonna pour pretty heavy on this because it's so good.
It is delicious.
All right, not only is the bottle just beautiful.
Yeah, like that's a good shape.
It is a great looking, but yeah, I love the shape of it. It looks great. I like the angel wings on the back. It's got the batch number and bottle number written on the side, which is always nice to see something handwritten on a bottle. It's very, this is probably one of my favorite looking bottles. On my shelves at home, I have a bottle of this, and it goes on the front. Some of the more boring ones go to the back. It's just such a good looking bottle.
The bottle has like the angel wing kind of shape to it, which I think is nice. Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was interesting where the name comes from. So when all bourbon is aged in a barrel, quite a bit of it has gone in evaporation.
Okay.
Over time, because six years it's in a barrel, you're going to lose some. And it's actually why you'll notice that 10-year, 15-year, and the longer aged spirits are generally more expensive because you're losing a lot more of it, and you got to make your money somehow, right? So, but that little bit that evaporates, it's called the angel's share. That's just kind of, it's just what it's always been called.
I get it.
And so the master distiller, when he first tasted this, his quote was, his name's Lincoln, joked that we had finally got a better deal than the angels.
Wow.
So he tasted it, he's like, wow, this is amazing. Hey, the angels can take their 5%. We have the better, we have the better side of things. And so, hence the name was born.
Angels Envy. That's cool.
They're envious of what was here.
No, so, I would not know that. That's awesome.
A little bit about Lincoln. So Lincoln was actually, again, like most of these bourbons, we are close enough to, in time to when Kentucky was settled and bourbon became a thing, that we still have pretty close degree of separation to some of the original distillers. And Lincoln is no different. He is actually the creator of brands including Woodford Reserve and Gentleman Jack. So two huge brands, and he worked for them and helped them create those. Angel's Envy was his first solo project by himself. Lincoln did pass away in 2013.
Oh.
So his family is continuing
Oh, okay. Running the business?
Yeah, it's continued on. So I think that's pretty much kind of what I had for you guys on this. Let's go for our dive into our tasting.
Smell good.
Yeah, on the nose, it's... It's delicious.
So, what I like about this is that you immediately feel it's glassy smooth, and then you get spice right after that. Mm-hmm. So it goes in cold, really, and then heats up as you start to taste it.
And it's maybe not as sweet as it smells. It really does smell.
Smells
very
sweet.
Sweet.
It's not super sweet.
But then it hits your tongue, and you get the vanilla and oak.
Yeah.
On the front end.
Yeah.
And then it kind of turns into the honey. Then you start tasting the pork cask. Afterwards, you get a lot of the sweet on the back end.
Yeah. To compare this to some of the other whiskeys we've tasted, the oak factor on this whiskey is low, comparatively. Mm-hmm. Some of these other whiskeys have just so much oak in them. This one, I really think the spice in it is turned up a lot more.
I do wish it was higher proof. I think it would actually be better. If it's a little higher proof, and they do have a, it's extremely hard to find. This is hard to find in Ohio. The rye I've been trying to get. I've waited in line at my local grocery store because they've had it a couple times, and I've not been able to be one of the lucky ones to get a bottle. But they have a rye, and then they have a barrel strength. Which I would love to get my hands on that. I've not really seen that, but I think I think that's a higher proof.
Oh man, this is very good.
Yeah, because this is blended from they make a couple dozen barrels and then they blend this together.
Right.
The barrel strength, and then I think they proof it down with water to in the 86 range. Yeah, this is
very good.
It's such an easy drinking.
Yeah.
Bourbon. I try really hard to not. Drink it.
Sure.
Because it's not super easy to find, but it's so good.
Yeah.
And this is one that I do love pouring for people. You know, like you. I know that you like sweet drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like trying to point you towards sweeter bourbons.
And what's interesting is this goes in sweet. And it evolves as
you... Warms up and gets sweeter. Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's something that I didn't expect when I first had this. Also, I must say... This is a whiskey channel, but it's not a cigar channel. But this goes exquisitely with a cigar.
Exquisitely?
Exquisite.
Exquisite? It's exquisite.
I know what you're saying. I'm saying it's going exquisitely.
That's how you say it if you've been drinking too much.
Yeah, exquisitely.
It's going exquisitely.
With a cigar.
Then you're double buzz from this and the cigar.
But I have to say, it goes really wonderfully with a cigar.
It does.
So, maybe the right way to drink this, actually.
Yeah, that's very good. Today we are going to be discussing, should you SBR a short barrel rifle, should you go through the NFA to tax stamp and register a short barrel rifle, or should you go the route of bracing your short barrel rifle?
Right, and I'm arguing for bracing, and you're arguing for the SBR.
I am arguing on the side of the NFA, and
those are hard words
to say. Making us, yeah. There's a lot of acronyms here. So this is interesting because I don't own any SBRs, official SBRs. I've been wanting to.
Right.
And I'll kind of go since we're kind of segueing in here. I'll kind of kick it off with my points because. One of the reasons why I've been wanting to SBR a rifle is because we do a lot of video content for our products. And when we use I prefer a shorter barrel rifle. I love like a 14.5 or so, maybe even a 12.5, something in that range. A normal barrel, for if you don't know, is about 16.
Right. Is
normal. And 16 inches or longer is not considered a short barrel. Anything under 16 inches is now going to be considered a pistol, or if you register it, a short barrel rifle. Now I'm going to get a little bit into, let me back up real quick and just kind of, I'm just going to skim past real quick what the NFA is and kind of where it came from. So the Title I was enacted in 1934, and it was a response to, it was actually really kicked off by the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, and which is driven by the mob. It was a very bloody thing where they used full auto short barrel rifles, you know, the Tommy gun that you see. And so their response to that, this crime happening within gangs and mobs, was to take away the freedoms of all the rest of Americans. You know,
that's a typical government response.
And then sell it back to them, right? Our government,
right,
loves to take away your rights and then sell them back to you.
Because freedom is available to the rich.
Right.
Remember that.
And that's actually a good segue to, they made a $200 tax. So when Congress enacted this, $200 was equal to thousands of dollars.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Today, $200, especially today,
yeah,
is not a lot.
Last year.
It's not a lot compared to what $200 was in 1934. So they were selling it back to people, but at a price that was way outside what most people could even consider selling.
Ridiculous.
Or, you know, buying. Right. So,
except for maybe the people with all the money, like the mob people who did the shooting. They could probably buy that, right?
Yeah, when you're in the mob, either you have the money to do it, or you just don't care and you're gonna buy it.
Right.
By either way, right?
You already broke some laws.
If you're willing to massacre people, you're probably willing.
Right. I know you guys are
not paying
an
NFA tax.
But we're gonna say no to these braces, and you're gonna listen, right?
I'm gonna make sure that if I go to jail, it's not for having a say. Yeah. Anyway.
My gosh.
And I thought this was so telling. This is straight off the ATF website.
Okay.
It says, while the NFA was enacted by Congress as an exercise of its authority to tax, the NFA had an underlying purpose unrelated to revenue collection. So they even say here,
yeah, oh
in
my
the beginning
gosh
of the paragraph,
no, it's got purpose other than revenue collection.
The first purpose they say here is to exercise its authority to tax. they aren't even trying to hide the fact that they're trying to that they're selling back our freedoms.
Like, no, we just wanted to tax you.
And by the way, it's also going to help.
Some people died, so.
It's also going to help curtail some violence, right?
Nothing like the Congress, I don't know, the government does this all the time. They're like, look over here at this hand, and at this hand, like, give me your money.
Because then it goes on to say, a sentence and a half later, its underlying purpose was to curtail, if not prohibit, transactions in NFA firearms. The $200 making the transfer taxes on most NFA firearms were considered quite severe and inadequate to carry out Congress's purpose to discourage or eliminate transaction of these firearms.
Wow.
So the secondary underlying purpose was to curtail violence.
That's such a douchey move. Like, do they not see that?
That's how much they don't care.
Yeah, and
that's,
they don't
and
care.
And that's how blatantly corrupt.
Yeah. When was this again?
That was 1934.
So in 34, they were already that corrupt. They've had almost 90 years of more corruption. Imagine what they're doing now.
Now, I guess if anything, we could thank the almighty government, because they've not raised that $200 tax since 1934. I think if they were to make it the equivalent today, it would be like, I don't know, like $10,000 or something like that you'd have to pay to.
Yeah. I'm not thinking of the government.
So then in 1968, Title II Gun Control Act came along, and they removed, hold on a sec. So in 1968, Title II Gun Control Act came along, and the requirement for possessors of unarmed firearms to register was removed. Under the amended law, there is no mechanism for a possessor to register an unregistered NFA firearm already possessed by the person. And second, a provision was added to the law prohibiting the use of any information from an NFA application or registration as evidence against the person in a criminal proceeding with respect to a violation of law occurring prior to or concurrently with the filing of the application or registration.
So before or after, concurrently, yeah. Right?
Right. In 1971, the Supreme Court re-examined the NFA in the Freed case and found that the 1968 amendments cured the constitutional defect of the original NFA. So they gave a little bit back to us.
And it's still maybe not totally clear about what they gave back to us. They gave back, if you already had a gun, you don't have to register it. Is that what they did?
Right. And they also, at least that's how I understand that. And then the other thing was they cannot use any information from the NFA application or registration against you.
All right. So that's interesting.
So I guess, so the Freed? Yeah, the Freed case came along and said, hey, you guys are stepping on our rights here.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, I didn't look too much into the Freed case. I'm hoping that the Freed case tried to do more than just those two things, but maybe that's the only things that they got, because
so basically,
the entire thing is stepping on our freedoms.
Grandfathered in. That's basically what it is. When you see a pre-some date machine gun, it's usually grandfathered in, right?
Right, so it was basically, hey, all these people that, which, again, we're talking from 1934 to 1968, so
for 34
years,
4 years, you've been a criminal.
You've been a criminal, but...
But now it's cool. So... Wow.
And then in 1986, this... the Firearm Owners Protection Act came in 1986. This act amended the NFA definition of silencer by adding combinations of parts for silencers and any part intended for use in the assembly or fabrication of a silencer. So... Just adding more things,
another really dumb law.
To protect.
It's not law. Is it law?
Yeah. So, the act also amended the GCA to prohibit the transfer or possession of machine guns. Exceptions were made for transfers of machine guns to or possession of machine guns by government agencies, because if you're the government, it's okay. And those lawfully possessed before the effective date of the prohibition of May 19th. 1986. So it's just a little bit there for you. So basically, in a nutshell, if you want to own a SBR, short barrel rifle with a stock, if you want to own a silencer, if you want to own a machine gun, you have to apply to the government, giving them all your information, including the serial number of the gun and everything, or the silencer, because all this stuff's serialized, pay $200, and then wait. And wait. There's nothing in all of this that gives a timeline that the government has to abide by or anything. It's whenever they get around to it.
We got a buddy who's wait 16 months is what he said.
Yeah, it's been like a year and a half. I have several suppressors. I waited anywhere from a year to 6 months.
Stupid.
On a suppressor. It's a muffler.
Yeah,
it doesn't make a gun any more dangerous or anything. So, because we're not.
Oh my god, dude, I'm gonna get worked up.
I know, we're not trying to get into should it exist or not. We clearly don't think any of this.
Still getting worked up.
Should be the way to go, which doesn't help me because I am going to be fighting on this side. And I
good luck, bud.
There are several good reasons. No, one and a half reasons why I think. It is a good idea to go through and SBR your rifle.
Give them to us. What
so the and it just I say half reason because the only reason that these exist is because the government has made the NFA. So because the first reason that I have on here, and this is why I started to say earlier, but went off track, and now I'm coming back on track.
Rabbit hole.
One of the reasons why I am for registering an SBR is because, again, because we make a lot of video. We video ourselves shouldering a short barrel.
I gotcha.
Pistol.
Yeah.
Rifle. And the ATF is continually going back and forth on AR pistols and if it's okay to shoulder a brace pistol, if it's not okay. And the definition of an SBR has, to be fair, has not changed since the inception of the NFA. It has not changed. It has always been what it is. But a braced pistol which again is the exact same thing.
Oh my gosh, it's exactly the same.
Exact same thing.
Yeah.
As SBR and a braced pistol are the exact same thing.
Just to be clear.
Just to be clear.
They're literally the same.
Everything about the gun
thing
is the same thing. Now, we aren't getting too deep in on the other things that make it. Like, there's a certain length of pull, overall length.
I get all that. Yeah.
Forward. What do you call it?
Forward grip.
Yeah. Forward grip.
It
can't
be vertical.
It can't be vertical. Or it has to be. Yeah. Like there's other things that fall under this, but essentially, if I have a 14-inch AR that has a stock on it, it is as soon as you put a stock on it, it is now a short barrel rifle. If I take that off, it is now considered a pistol.
Okay.
Because the ATF has backed themselves into a mess that they've tried to define things.
Yeah. So your first point, though, is that regardless of the rules that the ATF has decided are almighty, your thoughts on this are, it's better for us, because we video, to have an SBR, so that if we're shouldering it, we're not taking that extra risk.
It's not just for us for video. I was using that example for me as a business owner with employees, and I don't want to go to jail. I don't want you to go to jail. And
thanks.
If right now it's okay to shoulder an AR pistol with a brace on it,
right,
and we video that, my question is, if tomorrow the ATF decides to go ahead and change your law, which, by the way, ATF doesn't have power to make laws.
Well,
but
that's side point.
But that's a whole other thing. So
we need to have a rant session where we can talk about how dumb the ATF is.
I'm going to need a lot more whiskey. if the ATF tomorrow decides that you cannot shoulder it, my question is, if they go back and watch that,
okay, and then
am I?
Hey, we said you can't shoulder that.
Yeah. So
interesting.
You know, obviously videos are time stamped, and I can say, well, we did this when it was legal. It's just that it is kind of a gray area, and I think for the most part, it's unenforceable for the ATF really to try to enforce these things.
So many
millions of people have braced stuff. So anyway, number one point is you don't have to worry about all that.
Right.
You don't have to worry about braces and laws changing and the ATF, you know, changing their minds. It's just you can shoulder at will and not worry about it. And the other reason why I think it's worth making an SBR is you don't have to deal with the functionality of a brace. I realize today's braces, specifically SBA3, is a fantastic brace. It is comfortable to shoulder.
Yeah.
It is, things are pretty stiff on it. Like it's not going to wobble around on your shoulder.
The old ones, man, the whatever blade one.
Well, yeah. So then
that would suck.
Yeah. So there's some other brands out there. One of them is a Shockwave, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
It is basically a quarter inch wide piece of plastic.
It's like putting plywood as your buttstock.
Yeah. And you put that against your shoulder and pull the trigger. It's not too comfortable to shoot.
Usable. But now we're near comfortable.
Yeah, especially in a t-shirt or something. It's not comfortable. So there's a comfort and functionality of it. A well-built, like, Magpul stock is going to be better than your best brace. It just is. There are companies who make, like, stiffeners and there's all kinds of things on the legality of that.
Sure.
But there are companies that make things to try to stiffen up a brace so that it is more comfortable to use as a stock. You don't have to do any of that with a stock. A stock is a stock. They are extremely well built and solid. And you don't have to worry about things moving on you. And yeah, so
yeah,
really, those are my two main things.
Those are solid points.
You do need to be careful. Some of the adjustable braces, when it's all the way in, you got to be careful because technically it makes your length of pull shorter than what...
Which length of pull is muzzle to the back of the stock?
No, length of pull is from, like, from your grip to stock, or from trigger to stock.
From trigger to stock.
That length has to be a certain length. It's pull, but...
Interesting.
It does make it too short, so...
Man,
I think it's okay if you have a law folder that adds a couple inches
then it's good.
Two, then I think you're okay. But again,
yeah,
there's...
Yeah, I've been running.
Again, it's just...
One of those things.
Using a brace adds some variables that could potentially get you in hot water.
Is it almost simpler? Would you say it's simpler to was SBR?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be simpler? If you're looking to like make sure you're within legality.
You're trading, well, yes,
yeah,
it is.
It would be almost simpler.
You're trading up front, you're gonna have to pay $200, register.
Yeah.
It is a registry. Register yourself in this gun. But then once you're done with that, it is legally.
Sure.
There are still a couple loopholes that you have to go through, and I'm sure that you have some...
I talked about the
some of these notes here.
20.20.
Yeah, so I'll let you get to your points, because there are some things, even after you've SBR'd your rifle, there are still hoops you have to jump through in order to stay legal. So those are my things. Why don't you go ahead and hit your reasons not to.
So my argument here is that you should not SBR your guns, but you should instead slap a brace on it. Now, my argument's kind of broken down into a few points, but the main thing here is that you're dealing with the federal government. And you really gotta think, do you want the federal government knowing where you go with a gun every time you go somewhere? You know, who owns this gun? We as gun owners are typically...
Can you explain why the government knows where you go with your gun?
Yeah, so, and I'm not an expert on this, so 5 minutes research has told me, and listening to some friends has told me, that when you travel with an SBR, you need to fill out a form called, it's called a 5320.20 form. And essentially that notifies the ATF where you're going.
You have to wait to get approval. You have to wait to hear back.
You get approval for this form.
You send this to them to get approval to cross state lines with it.
Have you heard of anything stupider than that? Like, that's a, what? So you don't gotta do that when you get a brace. You just slap that bad boy on the gun and roll. And that's, I think that's a really good point, is it gives you the freedom to travel with your own firearm, defend yourself, and keep the company and the country in check. And so, for me, that's like, when I heard that, it's like, nobody tells me where I can go and what I can do. Like, this is America. So, that's a problem for me. And then number two, you gotta pay a tax stamp. Now, I've paid a tax stamp for my Form 1, which was to create a suppressor, and I waited a month for it. I didn't love doing it, and I understand that there is, you know, rules and laws, so I went ahead and did it. But it hurt, man. Writing that check, it's not a good check to write. And there isn't really any good options for suppressors on what to do other than just straight out saying, screw it, I'm gonna just make a suppressor and call it a day. So there's no good options there. But you have an option now with SBRs, so you can then make them a braced pistol. And that comes with some benefits that you may not know of, which is in some states, braced AR pistols are considered pistols. And as such, they are covered under your concealed carry license or whatever your state ends up calling it. You definitely want to look that up. But I know for us, that AR pistol is essentially
the exact same way as a Glock 19.
Glock 19. So keep that in your car as a car gun, and you can't really do that with an SBR. You know, keep it loaded in your front seat if you want to. So that's a pretty big selling point for braces for me. Now, you've talked about braces being decently comfortable, and I say they're arguably almost as comfortable. You know, there's a slight edge to someone who's using a stock, because they're designed with the sole intention of making shooting that platform as comfortable as possible, whereas braces have to juggle you know, what the ATF says and stuff like that. But there's Lunar Concepts makes the split fix and stuff like that, and that all helps make things better for you. And I know you had mentioned this, but you know, legality of that stuff is still questionable, but you know, you do you. So the last thing that I think I have here, yeah, I kind of touched on this a little bit. I view braces as kind of a bit of a rebellion from the government, but also kind of a bit of giving up to the government power. And I don't really know where I stand on this, and I've been thinking about it for a long time. On one hand, having a braced rifle, or a braced pistol, I should say, is kind of like the big, you know, screw you to the government, because they've made a rule, you now got around that rule, and there's nothing they can do about it. On the other hand, it's kind of like, this rule shouldn't exist, and now because you say this, you know, this is the thing I shouldn't do, I'm going to go ahead and like buy something else that I have to spend my money on to do that. And I don't know where I stand on that, but, you know, it could be viewed as a good way to stand up for your rights by buying a braced pistol, because you're, the government can't do anything about this. You've got a short gun, and they tried to have you not have a short gun, and there's something kind of beautiful about that.
Well, they can't until they do.
I mean,
they can't until tomorrow the ATF decides. And
they say that.
And this is one of my biggest things, is that the ATF is out of control. They can do, they seem to be able to just do whatever they want and change definitions of things at their own whimsy.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we can be turned a felon
right
overnight.
Hopefully not, but it's
already happened. I mean, it happened back in 1936 or whatever. You know, it's been happening for a long time. It's been that the government decides, hey, no, this is a new rule. All of you who have been following the rule are now felons.
Yeah, I don't get that.
So you get to skip all that and be able to rest easy and sleep at night knowing that the ATF's not going to come knocking at your door because they saw your Instagram video of you shouldering a braced gun. Because,
yeah,
the law may have changed today. It might have changed this morning, but I didn't know because I was heading out to the range. I posted a video today, and now I just posted a video that's illegally shouldering a pistol.
I get what you're saying.
You know, it's just,
yeah. But at the same
you
time,
get past all that illegal
right
nonsense.
Now it's legal to own an SBR. What happens if the government says, we don't want to have SBRs anymore?
Well, sure, and that's...
Is that equally as plausible? I don't know.
Every year, I mean, Biden is already trying to...
Yeah.
...to ban things that are already highly regulated. You know, things that are on the NFA, Biden's still trying to...
And things that are unregulated, too.
But yeah. But it is much more unlikely those things are going to be taken away because they already are so...
It's already under the giant thumb of the
government. Yeah, like it's already so highly regulated. You know, if anything, I could see them raising the tax stamp price from 200 to something higher.
Yeah.
You know, to keep going along with what... It's going to be easier for them to raise the price than it is to... abolish something from the NFA and completely erase, you know, silencers and SBRs off the face of the earth, or whatever. So, right. Again, the government loves the tax, and so they truly don't care how safe we are.
Absolutely not.
All they care about is making money on taxes.
Yeah.
So, they're more likely to tax things. I mean, they've already tried. You know, saying, and they're going to keep trying to do this too, say that every magazine needs to be serialized and tax stamped. That's their...
You just wait.
That's the way that they're going to keep going. And it's not to try to ban things, because that's very difficult for them to do.
Yeah.
But taxing things is a way that they...
This is a dusty prediction that I'm locking in and memorializing on the internet. At some point in time, there is going to be a subscription service for this type of stuff. And you're going to have to buy your subscription service to own these type things. And I know it, because it's just the progression of everything.
That's basically what, I mean, my opinion, subscription services came from the idea of what taxes do.
Right.
Right,
yeah.
So.
They were like, how can we get people to pay me every
They're already
month?
Doing this. Yeah, why we don't have to continually re-register our guns and stuff. It's just a matter.
It's a matter of time.
I'm surprised they haven't gone that route.
And remember, we have to fight that because, dang, that would suck.
So I hate the this conversation in the first place. Shouldn't even be a thing. I think we're both disgusted that we have to argue both of these points.
Yeah, we're both arguing the losing point.
Yeah, we're both arguing
the real point.
Yeah,
is what we shouldn't have to put. It shouldn't matter what you put on your gun. Just be able to own it. Go to Walmart.
A short barrel rifle is not any more dangerous.
No.
Than anything else. I mean, yes, it can be more concealable. But again, people who want to murder people and massacre people don't care. So right. Again, this is a rabbit hole that we
getting off on
again,
a new tangent.
We're gonna start going down that road. So just one more kind of little point that was brought up to me is that some states do not allow you to hunt with a semi-auto pistol. And I kind of want to just throw this in the very end because we're not talking about hunting, and these guns shouldn't exist for hunting. If you want to use them for hunting, go for it. So states that do not allow you to use a semi-auto pistol, you have to use a rifle. You could not use a braced pistol. But as soon as you put a stock on it, you can now hunt with it.
But then you're a felon, so. Unless you pay a tax.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So.
Interesting.
If you SBR, if you live in a state and you want to hunt with your AR pistol, you have to SBR it so that it becomes a rifle and you can hunt with it.
Yeah, until today I did not know that. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I never really thought of that. I hunt, but I don't hunt with a rifle. So I didn't really think about it until it was brought up to me.
Greg likes to strangle his animals like a real man.
And so, like these Chinese stars. You know, just to kind of cut a couple workarounds, maybe. So one of the things that you brought up is travel, and I agree that it's ridiculous that you have to get approval to cross state lines with it. But you know, for me, I know. I would honestly probably wouldn't travel with my SBR.
Sure.
I'm probably going to use my brace pistol if I'm going to travel. I'm not going to ask the government for permission.
Or can you just take your sock off, put a brace on it, and travel?
You cannot do that. You
can't do that?
No. So,
as
soon as you have registered that serialized weapon as SBR, you cannot change it back into a pistol.
So it's cool if it originally is a pistol. But Lord help you if you turn it into one. That's dangerous.
Yeah, no, it's okay with the government's approval and paying tax that you turn it into a rifle.
Yeah.
But yes, if you turn it back into a pistol.
So it's cool if you just have it as a pistol. But turning it back into
a pistol, not cool.
No, big no, hard no.
That is bad.
I did not know that either.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, what do you guys think? For those of you who have registered an SBR, you know, let us know in the comments below why you decided to go ahead and do it. And I actually understand if you don't want to, you're probably not going to. But if you're willing to share, we would love to hear why you chose to go through an SBR, your pistol into a rifle. And if you are pro-brace, if you're like us who have multiple brace guns, why will you not?
Yeah.
Go in SBR. We'd love to hear from you guys. Okay, so next week.
Oh.
Let's choose next week.
Okay. All right.
All right. Butter versus margarine. What do you prefer?
I prefer butter. Right?
You know, like something that's like one molecule away from being plastic?
No, hydrogenated oil is the reason for obesity in America. Mm. I can prove it.
Bigfoot.
What's there to argue there?
Is he a Republican or Democrat?
All right. Well, would he ever know, though?
You can go down the rabbit hole on this one. Is Bigfoot a Republican or Democrat? So while we're in the realm of AR pistols and stuff like that, let's stay in this for one more week. And should a rifle... let's talk about rifle versus pistol caliber in an AR.
Oh, like, should you do a 9mm pistol or a 5.56 pistol?
That's right.
Okay, so, I'll try for a pistol. I actually agree with you that I'm going to have a...
No, you can't. You can't argue. You can't agree with me.
Well, I can.
No.
I have to die on the other
hill. You cannot agree.
Well.
You are now on the hill. You must die for
this is America, but apparently not.
If you guys would like to recommend something for us, again, a lot of these things have been suggested by you guys. If you guys have not only maybe a serious suggestion, but if you have other ideas for maybe some of the not so good suggestions, throw them out there. Those are just as fun to think of as the real ones. So, nope.
I can't just be agreeable. Not today.
If you want to have that opinion, you got to pay a tax. And then we'll let you have that.
But to the government or to you? Because I'm not paying it to you.
I like me.
I like me too. Can we just get?
I'll be nice. I'll let you pay $50.
No,
only $50.
Hard pass.
I'll give you a stamp.
Hard pass.
Stamp of approval for your opinion.
Nope. I will just slap a brace on that opinion and call it a day.
Well, all right, so I think
I'll argue on the 9mm 40.
Because I think there is some validity.
All right, what's 5.7?
That is...
a rifle or a pistol?
I'll have to look that up.
I think it's a pistol caliber.
So my thing is, like, if I go to search for a round, do I need to go to the rifle section or pistol section for that round? That's how I think.
Pistol section, then, for 5.7.
I'm pretty sure it's pistol.
Sure.
It was made for
a
pistol.
Yeah, the FN 5.7, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is also a stupid round.
Yeah, just to be clear. It's like throwing grains of rice at somebody.
If you'd like
at
to.
Super fast speed.
But it defeats armor.
Yeah.
It would defeat body armor.
Okay.
So will 9mm. That's like 46 grain or something.
Give a solid copper 9mm round.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Solves that problem.